Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another Bow Sides podcast. We're here with Tiziano Squarso, man, the healer, the person you go to when shit's getting fucked up. So brother, thank you for coming on the podcast today. I'm really excited about this one. Can you give a bit of a background story in terms of who you are, what you do, because it's very outside the box?
Yes, it is very outside the box. Thank you, Daniel and Kevin, for having me.
Thank you.
What I do, let's start where I come from. I come from a very bumpy upbringing since my teenagers, a lot of extreme experience, a lot of down, a few ups, another few downs and a few ups. And eventually I built up a career as a professional fighter, which is the reason why I came to Australia. And I lived out of that since pretty much my 19, 18 years old until 26, 27. In Australia, I did the same. I was managing a gym. I was fighting for this gym. And eventually, out of another extreme experience, I went in debt with one of my business. So I opened a business which I was importing boxing equipment from Italy, boxing Muay Thai equipment from Italy. And eventually, I went in debt with this business. And I was like, fuck, I had a lot of upside down in my life, really down, really up, extreme experience. There must be something in me to look at, to work within myself. Eventually, one of my friends advised me, you know, like epigenetics says that we carry the trauma of our ancestor. And there is a German psychotherapist who developed this psychotherapeutic approach called family constellation, and it might be that you carry something from your family of origin. And I was like, ooh, okay.
Except for the good looks.
Yeah. The good look is welcome, but you know, like all the rest, I was like, okay, yeah, well, that's interesting. Let me take a look at this, you know. Like I had very, very extreme experience. So I went there, and that day I changed my life. It was 2016. I was my ex-partner at the time. I started the path to self-development, and I fall in love with this psychotherapeutic approach called family constellations. So I studied it. I felt I was gifted in doing that. And eventually I dropped the career that I was having, which I was having I was making good money. Life was okay as a personal trainer. And I decided to take the path of family constellator observer. And eventually, since 2019, I made it full time. And it is my biggest call in life now, my purpose. I know I am here to make a worldwide impact with this. And that's where I am at.
Okay. So I don't know much about what it is. Can you give a description, an in-depth explanation of what exactly you do?
Yeah. So family constellation is a psychotherapeutic approach called phenomenological. So basically we observe the phenomena inside the field of existence, which is called morphogenetic field. What is the morphogenetic field? Quantum physics teach us that we are part of a field of existence. Like there's no difference between Tiziano, Kevin and Daniel. You know, when I dive myself into the emotion of this, when I dive myself, I enter in resonance with this field, I can perceive Daniel emotion. I can perceive Kevin emotion. So the same things happen with our family. We carry the trauma, the emotion, the path of our ancestor, and we repeat that particular what is unresolved. So we carry the systemic burden, we call it. Through family constellation, we are able to observe which systemic burden we are carrying and from who. And by bringing harmony into this dynamic, usually through the use of phrases and through the use of movement, we are able to release ourselves of those burdens that they play out in our life most of the time as a sabotaging experience. And Bert Hellinger, which is this German psychotherapist who developed this therapeutic approach, taught us that we carry 10, 11, 12 generation of trauma in our body, of systemic entanglements. So when I take, for example, my partner, Kevin, it's not only Tiziano that takes his partner, but it's actually Tiziano and his family that takes his partner and her family. So it's not only me and my partner, but it's actually myself, 1,000 people behind me, and my partner, 1,000 people behind her. Well. That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Okay. So how do you go about healing that sort of stuff, the traumas and everything that comes through the ancestor lines?
So what we acknowledge in that is interrupted movements. So interrupted movement, what are them? If there is a dynamic where, for example, love couldn't flow between me and my mother because my mom left me a childcare, and that day she left me a childcare and I felt abandoned. So that abandonment wound is within me. How do I release that? Because if I don't release that, I keep attracting which sort of women? Women who they abandon me, just like my mother. So what do I do with that? I bring the emotion up. What happened that day? And through the use of phrases, through the use of movement, I'm able to release the sadness. Once I release the sadness, we allow love to flow again. In fact, Bert Hellinger, what acknowledges us, there is a spirit, there is a movement, there is a great spirit which is moving in one direction. Reunite that which was separated. So myself and my mother, we separate that day, and that separation keep playing a part in my life. If I'm able to cry out that sadness of that separation, I'm able to do what? To reunite what was separated. So no longer attracting women who they abandon me. That's it.
Got you.
So do you have to cry to release these traumas?
Not necessarily. What is important, Daniel, is acknowledgement of what is. Ooh. Let me explain this better. If I'm able to bring to the surface the emotion, what happened that day, which is buried within me, I'm able to reunite still what was separated, regardless if I cry it out or not. But acknowledgement of what is make what we call, from a therapeutic point of view, a morphogenetic imprinting. So if my morphogenetic imprinting is I'm separated from my mother, from the moment that I acknowledge what is that sadness, I'm able to reunite that and change my morphogenetic imprinting.
Yeah, wow. So with these scenarios that come to the table, like a big thing is with people in business or real estate or what have you, is this constant theme of self-sabotage, not feeling good enough. Where does that come from? How do we heal that? And is it important that we heal it, or is it a case of rolling up the sleeves and doing more work?
If we heal it, we are able to change the morphogenetic imprinting. And that means that quantum physics acknowledges that we are 99.9% energy. So it doesn't matter if I change, Daniel, my physical self, because at the end of the day, 99.9% of myself is energy. So if I change my energetic imprinting, life unfolds harmoniously. Taking back to what you're saying about sabotaging, the majority of people, Daniel, sabotage out of guilt. What is guilt? If my mom and my dad never made more than $1,000 a week, to a soul level, to make more than $1,000 a week, I need to pay guilt. I need to step away from what we call the family conscience. So what bonds me to my family is the belief, the imprinting of my family, the what the family have gone through. So my family have gone through a certain path. In order for myself to belong, I must go through that path. Why? If you look at nature, if a cub step out of the pack, is a dead cub. Same is for human. If I step out of my pack, of my family, I'm a dead human. I lose belonging. I remain alone. Mm. And the worst human fear is to remain alone. It is big. So in order for me to say, mom, dad, I want to make more than $1,000 a week like you did. So I need to face that guilt towards them and eventually cry the sadness, cry the whatever emotion is attached to that guilt, step free and do something good, even in honor to my family. But guilt is the major sabotaging experience. Give you another quick example for you to understand. I'm an only child, but perhaps my mom had an abortion. So when I go towards success, in my soul, I say, no, my little brother or sister died, so I don't deserve success. So unconsciously, I sabotage making money, achieving success, abundant relationship, financial abundance, because the abortion that my mother had. Very common experience, extremely common experience.
It is very common. So do we have much control over these traumas or these guilts we have? Or is it everyone got a pile of things that have occurred over time that we need to work through?
I learned, Daniel, first and foremost, that through family constellation, human free will is extremely limited. We are constantly guided by what we call this great spirit, what religion could call it God, science call morphogenetic field, and spiritual people call it love. This is the spirit that acts with act inside us.
What do you call it? Espresso?
Yes,
Pellegrino.
Pellegrino, that's right. So it's acting inside us. So we have really limited free will, but we are born in the family that allow us to have the experience we are meant to have. So if my soul is meant to have a certain experience, I will come out of a family that allows me to have that experience, perhaps out of abandonment, perhaps out of a father that is absent, a mother who is an alcoholic. So whatever experience life gives us is the right one for us to achieve that experience that we have chosen prior coming out of a soul level. Maybe I need to find value with the absence of my father, and I will find that value through the absence of my father. So my father is not actually that was horrible because was not there, but my father, his absence, gave me the tools to become who I am. Yeah, this is a very different way to see life. It's a very positive way. Kevin, you say like, my family is the right one. And when you are able to say my mother and my father are the right one, you are able to say half of me is right, half of me is right, because I'm half my mother and half my father. So I am right. When I actually refuse my parents, I say to myself, I refuse who I am. Yeah, that is the most devaluing experience you can possibly have. Yeah.
So what happens if someone is separate from their parents at the moment?
Well, the best way when someone experiences separation is first and foremost accept that. I'm able, Daniel, to take my parents in full if I take them just as they are. It doesn't matter if my mother abandoned me out of a church, but if out of her abandonment, I'm able to say, I take my mother just as she is, I'm able to detach. If I blame her, if I scold her, if I don't accept who she is, I'm attached to her even more. The order of love says, doesn't accept exclusion. So who I exclude in my life, I become, in order to bring inclusion to that person that I'm excluding. That's very powerful. Yeah. So the more I accept my parents just as they are, and the more I am actually able to detach and perhaps do a little different. But the more I scold them, wow, that's the best way to become just like them. Yeah.
Out of curiosity, you mentioned that you went through some extreme patches in your life. Can you touch on a few of the examples of the extreme patches in your life that may have impacted you or changed direction of your life later on?
Yeah. So my upbringing, let's say, got in brackets fucked up when my parents when my parents separated. My father was violent towards my mom, like physically violent. And that took a toll out on me. I was trying to protect my mom, literally my father spitting on me, like things like that. It was a very difficult time. And I tried to find a leader outside because my father was absent. So in my town, which is quite well known for criminality, the leader is a criminal. So I understood something. Okay, all of my mates are criminal, went to jail, stabbing, guns, drug, and everybody fears them. So fears is equal love for me. So I understood, okay, if they fear me, if other people fear me, means that they love me. So I started to become like them. I had extreme experience to stabbing, jail, very early in life, 18 years old, guns. I never took drug myself, but I was dealing with it. That's how I was making money most of my teenager years and up to the 20s. I was okay with that, to be honest, Kevin, because all of my surrounding was doing that. And I wasn't actually feeling bad about it because everybody around me was violent. Everybody around me was doing those sort of things. So I was like, cool, I'm in the right path. Eventually, at 21, I got into depression. A big depression hit me. And that depression was almost talking to me like, okay, now you stop trying to be the person that you are not. And I bring you back to who you really are, because I was a really loving child and I'm full of love. That's why I do what I do. That was hard for 3 or 4 years. I was fighting still at the time before depression. That was taking me out of using drug and alcohol and stuff. But eventually when I got into depression, I stopped to fight for 3-4 years. Mm. And I went really big down the path. I was always the cool guy, you know, a lot of girls around, easy money, things like that. Those things literally flew away. Mm. Until 26, when my grandmother died, and 2 days after I left Italy and I went to Australia. When I came to Australia, I took off the mask that I was wearing, like the tough dude, the you know, criminal and this and that, and I started to be myself. So I found my path again here in Australia, and that's what I am.
Wow.
Yeah.
you touched on something I want to get deeper on, which was you came into depression.
Yeah.
What from your perspective, what is depression and how do we navigate that?
So I learned depression. I work on depression a lot over the last 4 or 5 years on many, many people with outstanding results. Depression is usually an interrupted movement with the mother in early ages. Perhaps a mother who is not present, a mother who is emotionally unavailable, or actually a mother that abandons you, like... She needs, I wouldn't call abandon you, but a mother that she needs to go to work because we need to work, of course, to make money. And she leave you a child care very early in life. It could be a path to depression. Depression is literally eating the body because systemically the body is the representation of the mother. That's why you feel heavy in depression because you feel like life took a toll on you, took away your beautiful mother, your nurturing experience, your caring experience, your protective experience. This is what depression looks like in systemically. It's always an interrupted movement, I would say 99% of the time, with the mother.
Wow. Yeah, and would that be the case for your scenario in terms of what led you to that?
Big time, yes. My mother was a great mother. She's an amazing mother, but she's a bit emotionally unavailable due to the fact that her mother was very busy keeping up to 4 children, emotional unavailability as well. And my mother loves to work because she's very drawn towards her father. She's very masculine. So she left me a lot out of going to work, childcare and stuff. Mm. I tell you something, then you're going to laugh. When I hear one of my clients, my friends, and my ex-partner, by the way, she's a childcare teacher. But when I hear mother, they say, oh, I need to leave my child at childcare. I still get charged because yeah. I know how much how important it is for a child to spend the first year of life, at least until 6, 7, even 8 years old, with the mother. It's a big, big interrupted movement for children when they left the child care. And then if you want, we can lead to success, money and this, because we can actually experience this also through this interrupted movement with the mother.
Wow.
The mother is important in the first 6, 7, 8 years of life. It's the most important things for children. Like children, they get protection, nurturing, everything from the mother. Yeah.
So when people have disconnect with their mother from early age, what are the symptoms of that? What manifests in life later on typically?
As many as you want in that. Well, first of all, in relationship, our mother, Daniel, represents relationship. Why? Because when we get out of the womb, who is the first person we relate to? Our mother. The eyes, our eyes connect with the eyes of our mother. So an interrupted movement with our mother represents in relationship. People who are distant to their mother, they have no relationship. And all the time works like that. All the time. I always say, Bert Hellinger taught us, no mother, no relationship. The mother is relationship. Mother is also success, money, abundance.
Really?
When someone comes to workshop and they tell me, I don't care about money. What they tell me subconsciously is, if my mother is there, it's okay. If she's not, it doesn't matter. That's what they tell me. Because money is a reflection of your mother. Your mother nurtures you. What money are doing? They nurture you. Mm. Same is success. When people have difficulties in reaching success, they have difficulties in to go into the arms of their mother. Why? Our first success in life, which is birth. When we get out of the womb, the way to our mother arms, that's our first success. So when people go through incubator, through lamp, through cesarean, that's an interrupted movement towards success, and they manifest in life. Maybe they are about to reach success, but every time they need perhaps 3 or 4 or 5 people to work with them in order to go there, because the same happened at their birth. They needed 3 or 4 intervention, you know, to reach success. It is beautiful how we can connect the experience of our parent morphogenetically in everything happening in life. Everything. Money also looked towards our father eventually, because our father represents the project of life. So when we place the money in service to life, life remunerates us. It's a remuneration experience. When people have difficulties with their father, they usually have experience leaking of money, problem with authorities. Their banking account is a structure. Their father is the structure. So money leaking out because in debt, in bills, because their father is not present. It's amazing. It's astonishing how through the family you see everybody's life exactly as it unfolds.
Yeah. So you see generations of families where they do the same thing over and over and it's repeated. How do you break that cycle?
Guilt. In order for you to break a family path that is disharmonious since 3, 4, 5 generations, you need to face this family path, acknowledge what is, and pay the guilt to say, beautiful family, you have done always this way, but, and I'm doing this way out of my loyalty for you, but it's time for me to step out of that. And most of the time when you do this experience, you face what? Loneliness, fear of being alone. So that's why you cry out that sadness. So people, when you've been to my workshop, people, when they step out from the family conscience, they cry because they fear loneliness. And that's the worst of human fear. It's the worst of any biological being fear. As I said, a cub which is out of the pack is a dead cub, because other carnivore, they hunt him, they kill him. For human, we experience the same. Like, if I step out of my pack, if my family, I'm fearful to remain alone. I don't have a pack anymore. So that's why I need to face that guilt. And that's big.
I would say that's probably been my biggest challenge, is that fear of feeling alone and loneliness, especially when you own your own business or you're trying to create success. It's very easy to, like, be isolated on your path.
That's the path of a leader, Daniel. Yeah. And beautiful to share. That's why I always say, it takes courage to do something different, to step up and open a business, to change a path, to empower people, just as we're doing with this, just as you're doing in service. And it takes courage. It takes courage, especially because the majority of people remain in what we call innocence. They remain average to maintain belonging to the group. And if you go to the coffee shop and you say, fuck, I had a lot of bills and I don't make a lot of money, you have a lot of friends around because everybody's in that mentality. But if you go to the coffee shop and I say, wow, I made $1 million, you're probably the 1% in that coffee shop and you feel lonely. That's why a lot of people remain average and they make just everybody else make to maintain belonging to the group.
Pack mentality.
Pack mentality, there you go.
What are the tools we can use when we are trying to step into courage, become a leader and find our sense of purpose and service? I've got a few questions. How do we find our sense of purpose and service? And also, what tools can we use to stay in that leadership role and not freak out and make $1 million but spend it all? Just, you know what I mean?
The first question you had is extremely powerful. Our purpose find us. It's not us, we find our purpose. The more we take our parents, Daniel, as they are, and the more we are capable to acknowledge our gift, skills, tools that life has given us, and the more we align with those tools, and the more our purpose unfolds naturally in front of us. It took me a lot of time to understand this, and this is why I have clarity now inside. The more I took my father as he is, the more I acknowledge his skills, his tools, how good he is to do what he does, and the more I became similar to him, obviously with the part of my mother, with the part of my experience, but the more I I use his skills, the skills of my parents, into what I'm doing, and the more I align myself with my purpose. People who are disconnected to their parents, particularly their father, they have difficulties in finding their purpose because their father represents the project of life. So how we serve life, particularly us as men. Our father is our, he gives us value as men. It doesn't matter if he's present or absent. He could be present, he could be absent just as myself. But out of his absence, what did I take from it? And when I bring him back into my life, I'm able to acknowledge his tools, his skills, his value. That's it.
So for, I remember in our session, me having an absence father, I came from the approach of saying that it gave me tools where I became like that Tony Robbins. I use it to try and like, whatever happened in my past is what it is and it's made me who I am. But you were very on like, don't give me that Tony Robbins bullshit, like accept with what is. Can you touch on how we accept kind of where we are, but then also using the tools? Like, give me clarity on that.
Acknowledging what is, Daniel, is not think everything is positive, but actually giving the consequences back to our parents of their actions or other people around as well. If I always say everything is positive, everything is beautiful, I live out of a facade, out of a mask. I don't actually learn from the experience it is as it is, and I don't, and I also don't give the dignity to my parents back to face the consequences of my, of their action. For example, if my father abandoned me and he was violent and this and that, I'm actually able to get angry at him, to express that anger and say what is. So I give his responsibility back. Out of this experience, what did I learn from that? So no, oh, Dad, I understood that you were in this way because you were without father too. No. Dad, you've been violent and that's not okay. But what I do in my life, Daniel, I serve women. So my father was violent towards a woman, and 90% of my following clients are women. So I serve women, see? I took his experience and I swap it over. So I took what he gave me, like, oh, violence towards women. And by the way, I was violent too when I was young, just as him. And I actually turn it in service to women. So I took his shadow and I make it a bright light. And 90% of my clients are women, literally 90%, without a doubt.
Wow. Yeah. What ended up happening a few years ago when your mindset shifted to do this sort of stuff? What was the big mindset shift around it?
Look, Kevin, I feel I'm very courageous in what I, whatever I feel right, I have a strong gut feeling. For example, if I feel I have to do something, no matter if my mind tells me not this and that, but if my gut tells me yes, that's the path. I always dreamt to leave an imprinting in this world. I always felt when I leave this field of existence, my name will be remembered for a thousand years. So when I decided to do this, I felt I was called to do that. There was a little bit of fear in terms of, oh, you know, like I'm doing well with PT and fighting and this and that, but eventually this is my path. So my mindset was, I know it's gonna work out. Can I add something to this? Trusting life comes from your mother. So when someone trusts their mother, they are trustful towards life. And I trust my mother blindly. It gives me goosebumps to tell you. Like if life tells me to go right, everybody's going left, I go right. Because I trust life as I trust my mother. People who are distrustful towards life, they are distrustful towards other experiences. People taking money from them, distrustful to other people because they don't trust their mother. Their mother represents life. The more you trust your mother, and I trust my mother blindly, and the more you go in life knowing that life has your back.
How do you trust your mother? How do you learn that? How do you, what do you do?
I don't feel then you learn it, you experience, you embody. And this is majorly also from your mother too. If your mother is distrustful to her mother, towards her mother, you embody a little bit of that. Let me give you a few examples of that. You know those children that they are 6, 7, 8 years old and their mother goes to them and say, oh, at the first wind, cover up because you get sick and this and that. This is a child that comes a bit distrustful towards his own body, towards his own mother, because his mother is distrustful towards the body of the child. So the child gets sick all the time. Every time they have no immune system because their mother didn't trust them, so they don't trust their immune system to their body. But my mom was someone, Daniel, that I was falling on the floor. I could have literally blood all over my face. And she was like, come on, stand up, let's go. This is literally how my mother she is. And I learned to trust so much because she has trust in me. She had trust in me. Mm. But also, it's just how she is. She's a South Italian woman and she would do everything for me. And I always embody that, you know? Despite she's the parents that don't go along the best, but I trust her in full. She never let me down. And that's why I trust life in full, in full.
That's awesome.
To respond anyway to your question, that's an interrupted movement. Something happened with your mother that needs to be reestablished, that interrupted movement that we said before. Family constellation, phrase, movement, reestablish son, mother, daughter, mother, and that's how you establish your trust in life.
Oh, there we go. Wow. Are there any exercises we can do now?
Yes.
To break patterns or release or
yes, yes, drop guilt? Yes, yes, yes. Would you like to do it?
Yes, please.
Beautiful. Would you please close your eyes?
Done.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Take a few deep breath. Another deep breath in. Now I want you to, with your mind eyes, visualize your mother or your father in front of you, or perhaps the both of them. And I just want you to, on your own time, become aware. How do you feel within your body looking at your mother, your father, or the both of them? Just acknowledge how you feel. Perhaps you feel tense. Perhaps you feel happy. Perhaps you feel resentful, resistant, annoyed, distrustful. Once you acknowledge how you feel, there is a very short sentence that is rising up within your body. And this sentence could look like, you didn't support me. You were not there for me. I'm angry at you. Whatever that sentence is that comes up from your body, I want you to state a loud voice that sentence with the emotion attached to it, without judging it.
Oh, do I pick? I've got a sentence for each one of them.
You can say to each of them, loud voice, please.
I'm feeling lost without you.
Beautiful. Yeah. When you stated that sentence, as you did loud voice, you take a deep, deep breath in and release. Now a little shake to your body with your eyes closed, very little shake to your body. Now I want you to become aware, still into your mind eyes, of a good memory, a beautiful memory that you had with that parent, over the both of them, even if it was just your mother taking you to have an ice cream, whatever that looks like to you. And acknowledge how you feel within your body when you bring this good memory into your mind eyes. And out of this good memory, now there is another phrase that is rising up within your body. Once that phrase is clear, you can state that out loud with the emotion attached to it.
Feeling on top of the world. Ready to fucking have a go.
Yes. And you might want to add a few more things, which I guide you. And I love you.
And I love you.
And thank you for the greatest gift of life.
And thank you for the greatest gift of life.
Out of that.
Out of that.
I shall make something good.
I should make something good.
In honor of you.
In honor of you.
Take a deep, deep, deep breath in. Yes.
Yes.
The voice back. So let me give you a little explanation of what this is. This is the overcoming of an interrupted movement. As you acknowledge in the first sentence, I brought up an emotion which was disharmonious. So a memory that is trapped within your body, in your tissue, in your fascia, in your blood, everything within you, and I allow it to state it out. So that emotion comes out. Then out of that old imprinting, I made a new imprinting above. Okay. Mm. And there was actually magnetism because I felt it. Okay. So I felt it on my skin. Means that there is work in your body. When you actually state the phrase out, the emotion rise up. And a new memory is on top of that now. Make sense?
Makes sense.
Yeah. Mm. Very simple exercise. We could literally do 3 hours of those things. But anyway, this is just to give you an understanding of what an interrupted movement look like. And usually people, when they state the first sentence, they release anger, they release tears. But even if they don't release any physical form of, you know, tears, for example, you feel the magnetism in your skin. You feel magnetism is the shivers, okay, in your skin. When you say, oh, I feel the shivers, that's the magnetism. That's the movement into the morphogenetic field. Yeah.
And so do you just repeat the process through different questions or different categories that you're going through and working with the client?
The good things, Kevin, about family constellation, you don't need repetition. So once you bring the movement into the morphogenetic field, so when you bring the movement to an energetic level, that movement is done. Then you just observe the unfolding, which can take out in 1 day, in 2 days, in 2 weeks, in 6 months. But what we learn is that when an interrupted movement is restored, that restoration takes shape into the physical form.
Beautiful. Yeah.
This is actually not a woo-woo experience. It's not more spiritual woo-woo experience. It's quantum physics experience. The University of Queensland acknowledges us about the epigenetic experience. So now this form of therapy is actually becoming, accessible for everybody. Everybody can understand this. It's no longer, you know, done into the forest with the shamans and this and that. Now, my mom, sometimes she called me and said, Tizia, I have a pain in my left shoulder. What is the meaning for you systemically? Because even my mom now, she's almost 70, she understands this. Like, she starts to grasp the fact, oh, of course, we are our ancestor. Of course we are. Like, of course we are. Where we come from? Our families. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
How does it compare to different modalities like ayahuasca, plant medicines, other psychology things?
Good question. Awesome question. We work, Daniel, in different level of density. So someone who... Density, that's right. Yeah, someone who would go to the doctor for an experience of any form of illness, it's not wrong because they operate in that level of density, which is obviously more dense. It's something less light, is more like a dense experience, like the table, okay? So that's more of a doctor experience. Someone who goes little bit more towards naturopathy, perhaps, is a little bit lighter in terms of vibration. So stepping into the more spiritual, you know, we get into the more natural experience. Someone who goes directly into family constellation or something, Reiki, something like that is something that operates in very lightful experience of density, like is more the spirit, okay? But they all correct. And as I told you, I'm a big no-no for extremism before. Like, everybody takes the experience that they need. In correspondence to the level of density and vibration in which they are experienced life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's It's important to give space for everybody. Otherwise, I always believe that everything is right. So if I start to say that that is wrong, that means that I go against my own belief and integrity, which is not what I aim to. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the doctor is right as much as they observe any family constellation is right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. I fucking love it. So you've been on this path now for quite some time. What's been the biggest things you've learned about yourself or the universe? Because you really, I love seeing your Instagram posts and you write these really, when I read it, it's like so accurate, but it's something that we, it's so maybe we don't it's think about.
So my biggest learning, Daniel, has been that everything is right. And this is big because when people say, oh, what do you mean? So the narcissist partner is right. Yes, it is. I don't say it is because it's, the experience is pleasurable. It's because the narcissist partner takes you to where you meant to go. It takes you to the experience of life of the soul that you meant to have in order to upgrade your life, to become who you meant to become. So when you start to understand that everything is right and life has your back, I promise you that you operate from a completely different level of awareness. You're no more fear-driven, which is more brain-driven. You know, like people that are very much into their brain, that they ask a lot of questions, that they are distrustful because they are in their brain. But when you actually get into your body, into your soul knows that everything is right. Despite everybody's going left, your soul tells you to go right, you bloody go right. Because you know that your soul is connected to this morphogenetic intelligence. So your soul knows where to go. It doesn't matter what your mind tells you, because your mind wants to tell to keep you safe. Your mind is operating to keep you safe. Mm. But actually, imagine me in 2019 when I changed the path. My mind wanted me to stay in personal training. I had a wealthy client. I went on TV with them. So like, what are you changing the path? Are you mad or what? But my soul was telling me to go right. And guess what? My soul was right. Mm. Because I manifested the life that I wanted. Mm. So I trust. Wow. Yeah.
So what would help... What if somebody's in that scenario where they've built a life going left, creating a business success or whatever the vice may be, but inside they feel like going right?
Yeah.
What would your advice be in that situation?
Well, my advice is it would be step up in courage, because you require courage to actually do something like you just mentioned. The only difference, Daniel, between average people and leaders is courage. It is the only difference. The only difference with people that they keep their life average and people that they actually are able to step into millionaire mindset, this kind of experiences. Yeah. First of all, they pay guilt. So people who get into becoming a millionaire, they are able to take, to receive from others. They are able to take, to pay guilt. And I go a little bit into that. But particularly in order to step into that is courage. Okay, you can always go back. I can always go back to be personal trainer. No problem. You know what I mean? Like I do what I do now, and but if we didn't have work, I can go back to be a personal trainer. No problem. Not a big deal with that. Exactly, it's always there. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. So the guilt thing. Can you expand on the guilt thing a bit more?
You were about to say? If you allow me, I want to say also something to what you guys are doing here with the podcast. Life supports you. The both of you. Why? Because you are serving life. We're recording this podcast. You are serving other people. So life wants you to do that and support you both because you are doing that. The more you serve others and the more you get paid. I always say three principles to get paid. No, remuneration. First one, the quality of your service.
The quality.
Yeah. So you provide a good quality podcast. Life remunerates you in order to that, in comparison to that. The second one is the need of the service you provide. So if people need the message you are sending. And the third one, which one it is? The difficulty that life is experiencing to substitute you. So if I am unique in what I'm doing, family constellation, I get remunerated accordingly. Why? Because it's very difficult to substitute me. Mm. It is very difficult. And this is how you get remunerated, how you get paid. And I always say that, and I'm big in that. I love money, business. I love this stuff. You know me. So.
Mm. So true though.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Yeah. Now going back to the guilt, because I went on a tangent, but I felt to say, because it was worthy to hear that.
No, it's really good.
Yeah. Guilt, Daniel, is experienced when we take. What does it mean? It means that if Kevin offered me $100 and the moment I take, I experience guilt. Okay, I face guilt. Am I able to take $100 from Kevin, from Daniel? I am able if I took from my mother. If I took from my mother, I took from my parents, I'm able to take from others. If I didn't take from my parents, that morphogenetic imprinting, of course, is not in me. So I'm unable to take from others. And guess what? I will only give. And this is when we step into innocent experience. People are innocent. They feel in innocence when they only give. When they start to take, then they feel guilty. Why? Because to a soul level, they pressured to compensate what they've taken. So if Daniel offered me a coffee, I feel an inner force, which is called guilt, which pressured me to give something back. This is how life build up relationships. I'll give you a simple example. Myself, my partner. My partner give me one, and I feel the pressure to give her two. She feel the pressure to give me three. I feel the pressure to give four. This is how we build up a castle of love. This is how a relationship we build up. Because life wants you to create. But if I didn't take from my parents, I'm unable to take from my partner, from you. So I'm only giving. And people are good in that because they feel innocent. Oh, I'm just giving. I just give. I don't have any pressure to compensate what I've taken. But the moment they take, they receive something, they feel the pressure to compensate. And this is why a lot of people, they avoid the taking. Because they don't want to feel the guilt to compensate. So they remain innocent. They just give. And they remain average.
It's a good point. Yeah, I see that. Yeah. Definitely see that.
Yeah. Really makes good. Sense?
Makes sense, yeah.
Tell me, guys, if anything makes sense. Because I talk a lot and, you know, please awesome. Tell me when I go a bit off the tangent. But guilt is a big topic of mine. Sometimes people are like, oh, you are too direct, you know? And I always say, I'm direct because I'm here in service. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to serve you. And now I'm able to serve you because I took from my mother. And whatever it is that I need to tell you, I tell you because I'm able to face guilt. I'm able to take something from you, to ask something from you. People instead are pleasing you because they are unable to take from you. Oh, you're good in this, you're good in that. They keep pleasing you because they don't want to take from you. But the moment they start to take and ask for something, they have to face guilt. And they are fearful of and they want to remain average. But the more you have taken from your mother and the more you can serve others. The more you have taken from your father, the more you can serve others. That's how it works.
Have you studied much into law of attraction?
Big time.
Yeah. Good question.
Big time. Oh, no, a fantastic question. Big time. Yeah. Big time, Kevin. And I'm big in that. Like in term of... I would call it in myself a bit of more law visualization. And at that stage,
Love visualization?
Law of visualization.
Law of visualization.
So I visualize energetically, mentally. I call out the image that I want to bring within me. Yeah. And law of attraction is actually law of energy. Like we are drawn to the experience that we align ourselves energetically with. For example, if I'm able to tap into the feeling of having that $50 million house that I will have in 2026 out of Dover Heights, which I always visualize, the more I align myself with that experience, the more I attract that experience in me. So I vibe, for example, at 465, that house is vibing at 520. The more I align myself with those 520, the more I drawn to that experience. And yeah, big time, big time. I always do that, Kevin. Like, I wouldn't say only I dive into the law of attraction. I live out of that. Like, even into this podcast, I tell you, in 2 years' time, my story and what I'm bringing to the world will be on Netflix. I guarantee you that it will. I want to bring Netflix. Family Constellation into Netflix. I want to make it TV worldwide. I want to bring this modality to the public eyes. I tell you, I'm doing it. No, I will. I'm doing it. I guarantee you I will do it. I feel the vibes into doing that.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about when people use the law of attraction, they click into the frequency, they attract it, but then they've got that and then they don't feel successful, they disconnect, they self-sabotage?
Beautiful question again, because you come back into family constellation. Law of attraction, Daniel, I would say it's a secondary law. Why? Because above that, there is the first law of existence, the law of conscience. Love unfolds itself into conscience, into its orders. So yes, I can attract that experience, but if my conscience tells me, step out of that because you lose belonging, that's a primary law. So I let go of that experience and I sabotage myself because love submit to its own orders. Tell what this one more time, because it's a big love. The spiritual experience submit itself into its own orders. So conscience maintain orders between individual, between group, between packs, and this and that.
That's so, I find that to be so true for my life. Like there's a scenario now that I've got where, for example, I've got a car that is a great car, but then I want to almost get rid of it to go back down to a car that makes me feel a sense of belonging.
Yeah. What's going on with your mother there? Yes. That is something for you to feel like I'm worthy of this abundance, because my mother suffered perhaps because my father left, and my mother suffered out of that. So I have to suffer as well because my mother suffered. This is Daniel, like a child love. I love out of a childhood experience. My mother suffered, so I suffer too. So I belong, I share her suffering. But when I'm actually capable to state and pay guilt, Mom, out of your sacrifice and suffering, I shall make a life of success and rewards in honor of you. Then I'm able to detach from my mother experience, and out of her experience, do something of abundance, do something good. And that's a completely different form of love. One is a child love. The other one is an adult love. So I see that as I honor you with that. I do honor you with that. Different experience.
I need a bit of that one.
I'm surely working out, morphogenetically, energetically, we're talking. So things are working within me, within you. And that's how we work. We are energetic beings. We connect with each other. Yeah, always. Yeah.
Wow. It's so interesting. I love these laws. Like, so are there any other laws or principles that you're always conscious of that impact your day-to-day life?
Well, I tell you how it works, because also we're talking about a podcast that could be also about achieving success and this and that. One of the major and important laws that I talk is remuneration. You get remunerated. People love money. That's why I want to talk about this. You get remunerated if you serve others, if you serve life. The more people you serve and the more you get paid. Life wants you to serve. People who serve only themselves, they get paid little or nothing. The more you serve others in your day-to-day experience, and the more life rewards you, the more life paid you back. Yeah. So this is how remuneration is. I always say, Daniel, okay, now my business got to a certain point. We travel a lot. We have six or seven people work now, actually seven working for me. We do international. How do I increase the revenue of my business? I serve more families. I employ more people. I invest more money. So the more I share my investment, the more I share with others my time, my energy, money, and the more money come back to me. And they double up. Why? Same law as before. Life wants you to create. So it wants you to go up and up and up. So the more you serve others, and the more life double up. Double up, double up, double up. Simple. Yeah.
What if someone's going through that double up process, like an agent, they're on track to write 3 mil, like Kevin's doubling up. What advice would you give to somebody in that situation?
Keep doing, brother, because you're serving many families to find the dream house, you're serving many others, and you probably serve as well your own family and other people around you. Yeah, keep doing it, brother. Sweet. Well done.
Perfect. Yeah, thank you.
Because you're serving others. I'm telling you, when I look up to someone that is financially successful, I say, well done. You are serving others. You are serving the world. Some people sometimes say, oh, no, every time is like that. And they always bring the experience of people that they made a lot of money, like Conor McGregor out of fighting. I always say, hey, Conor McGregor served millions and millions of people. He inspired millions of teenagers that from the street of Ireland, you can become multimillionaire. He served an entire world. What are you talking about? Everybody who makes money serve others. Yeah, and it's always work like that. You can find it angle, middle way, smooth, but it works like that. Yeah. Look at the Facebook Mark Zuckerberg. He connected millions of people around the world. He got remunerated accordingly. Of course, he did an amazing things. Mm. Yeah. We are all connected out of that.
It's
true. Beautiful. Yeah.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know why people sometimes get jealous out of people that they make success? Because they are unable to face guilt. Mm. They are unable to ask to others for money. So they get jealous. They get angry. But then somebody who made money is capable to receive. So they're jealous of this person. Why? Because this person pay a guilt that they are unable to pay.
Mm.
Simple. This person pay the guilt they are unable to pay.
Ooh, they pay the guilt they're unable to pay.
Of course. Mm. Of course. If Kevin made the success financially, he's capable to pay a guilt that other people are unable to pay. He's capable to receive those money. And from somebody else who received money as well, who's capable to pay guilt, you have a clap, a cheers, well done, brother.
Mm.
But somebody else who is unable to do such a thing, you know what they will say? Money are not everything in life.
Yeah.
Of course, money are the most spiritual tool in existence. They serve everybody. With money, you can serve others. You can help children in need. You can help family. There's nothing more spiritual than money.
Wow.
Nothing, nothing. And I always say to everybody, please tell me something more spiritual than money. In fact, there are two topics that they bring people into their head crazy. Money and sex. Why? Because they both bring to the surface the unresolved with their mother.
Wow.
Wow. That's powerful. Money is a very spiritual thing.
It bloody is. With money, you can feed families, you can feed people, you can help others, you can buy experience to others. It's a fantastic tool. There's nothing more spiritual than money. Nothing.
It's true.
Yeah.
Can do a lot with it. Can do a lot with it.
If you wouldn't have the money to come over here today, bring this beautiful microphone, have a videographer to come with you, you couldn't serve people with this conversation, could you? You couldn't. Yeah, money. Nothing more spiritual than money. Yeah.
Wow. What about relationships? You touched on like sex is one. Where do you see people getting stuck or the challenges we face in that department?
The major issue we find, Daniel, over this century is men are not stepping up. So women get angry.
Ooh.
Let me tell you what is that about. When men are not stepping up in their full masculinity, they don't take their father in full. Women, they retain a bit of their own masculinity. And then they become angry, they become tired. So the man maintains a little bit of his femininity into his body. The woman keeps a little bit of her masculinity in her body. So she gets angry because the man doesn't step up. So when the man step up as a man and he plays himself in service to the woman and his family, the woman can fully surrender, can fully be in her feminine, and the family works amazingly, and the sex works amazingly. When the woman needs to maintain a little bit of her masculinity, and the man maintains, of course, his mother inside his body, and the relationship works a little less.
Do you still train fighting?
It's a while, brother. I'm not training. I miss it, Kevin. But
Does it take you out of your masculine to your feminine?
No, not really. Actually, I was more in my feminine before than now.
Really?
Yeah, I was more in my feminine, operating in the sphere of influence of my mother. Now I'm more into my father. But just my body lately, I've gone through some big change, and I felt to rest a bit. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But I'm still training. I'm still doing my, you know, pull-ups, chin-ups, my stuff. Yeah, but fighting, it's a while that I'm not training.
Yeah,
but it's in my body. I've done it all my life. It's like skiing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does one of your best friends got murdered in jail, and that takes?
No, that actually was my best friend, Fabio.
Oh wow, sorry to hear.
Yeah, no, it's
that's a big trauma. I'd say for a lot of people. Do we need to heal trauma or how? When a big event happens like that, can we brush it under the table and move on? Or do we need to go through a process of healing, stepping through it? Like, what's the impact of something like that?
And that is a profound question. It's always reflect then to what this friend represents within me in terms of in my family, particularly in my family system. Fabio was my role model. He helped me step out of a moment in my life where I didn't have value. I didn't have my father. I didn't know who I was. He kind of protected me. He took me out into the hood, what would you call. And it taught me how to be in terms of how to show up as a cool guy to protect myself. You know, that mask, that facade which he was wearing as well. Funny enough, he was without father too. So Fabio was a huge influence for me. And every time it comes up to my mind, I always say, I'm doing this for you too, brother. Every time I have success, I make good money, stuff, I always say, one day I'll be back with you, brother, and we play again. He didn't get murdered. I feel he did kill himself with some sort of drug in jail. He might have got murdered, but he never came to the surface. Yeah, but I always honor him. Like he was our team leader, let's say. Then I became that role after he went to the rough path. The problem with Fabio was he was using drug and I didn't, and I wasn't. So he went really ballistic. He did crazy things, like almost more crazy than me, I feel.
same level then. Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So with something like that, do you have to heal from, or can you continue life? Like, has it had big impacts?
It wasn't a big impact then in terms, like it was a big impact, but I don't feel for me it was a healing experience. It's more like an honoring acknowledgement, yeah, because he actually really helped me. At 14, I had my, you know, mates, they were taking the piss out of me. They were playing, like, they were bullying me, you know? But with him, with his protection and his let's say, reputation, I got out and I was kind of protected. Like, he protected me. He allowed me to become who I became at the time. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it was a good mate of mine. But even now that we speak, I always say in my head, I'm like, I do this for you too, brother. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He wasn't the only friend that I lost, because in my city we got really acting ballistic. We went ballistic, brother. Oh my God. Yeah.
Wow. There you go. What's something in your life now that keeps popping up as a bit of a challenge?
Relationships.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. Relationships in my life are keep being entangled. What is an entanglement, Daniel? Let me explain. An entanglement is an experience in your family system that has not been resolved. A love that couldn't make it, and it remain unmake, like nobody has brought fruition to this completion. So somebody else down the line will recreate that experience. So I found myself into this path for quite a while after I broke up with my four years, a little bit more, ex-partner, which was my stable partner. We were in Australia together, visa together. I got in a relationship with another girl in the 1.5 to almost 2 years ago. And it kept breaking up. Like, and it's almost out of control, because she tried to reunite something in her system. I tried to reunite something in my system, but that reunion is not happening. Why? Love is there, but love submit to conscience. So she's loyal to the conscience of her mother. Mm. And I'm loyal to the conscience of my father. So I recreate the experience of my father. She recreate the experience of her mother. And despite we love each other, so we are attracted. Sex is amazing. The most amazing experience. But we keep breaking. And that's the same thing. Fear of losing belonging. She fears of losing belonging from her system of belonging, her mother. I fear of losing, unconsciously probably, fear of losing belonging. So we keep, we can't make it. And we're working through it. I mean, it's working through it. I don't know if we are, but it's working through it, brother.
Wow. So you guys coming together makes both of you subconsciously feel like you're becoming a wolf leaving the pack.
When we get together, after some times, we unconsciously feel to go away. And I know this experience like my pocket. I've served thousands of people in that. I know what that is. That is an entanglement. I know that we are experiencing a relationship which is not ours. We are carrying an experience in our system that is unresolved. And we try to resolve something in our system, but we can't. Why? Because something that is hierarchically bigger than us cannot be resolved. We are the little one. So how can we get together? Unconsciously, I need to release my loyalty and she needs to release her loyalty. But that is scary. And we unconsciously haven't done yet. Why? Because we are feeling fearful to lose belonging, unconsciously. It's happening unconsciously, but I know that because that's my work, that's what I do. But I'm part of it and I cannot escape it.
So even you go through challenges like that.
Yeah, sometimes even Hershey told me, with all the power you have, with all the gift, and this, she actually accused me of that. But I'm unable to break it, because...
How would you break it?
Well, an entanglement breaks itself after it brings you to where you're meant to be. So let's say that, for example, I get in a relationship with her to become more man, and she gets in a relationship with me to become more woman. So the more we go into this entanglement, the more we embody my manhood or womanhood. So when we reach that point of that, we gain that experience that is karmically coming through us, then the entanglements break. But probably we haven't reached that point yet, because even like 3 weeks ago, everything was going okay. We had an argument, she disappeared. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm okay with that, because I'm okay with that. I know, you know, I know entanglement works.
Well, man, it sounds as though like there's forces that are occurring that you have minimal control. Like you're kind of just an observer or a participant without having much influence. Is that the case or?
Accurate, brother, accurate. Human free will is limited, extremely limited. We are fully guided by this great spirit, which you would call it love, but also we are bonded to conscience. So love unfolds within this tube, this cone of conscience. So we recreate pattern and we are unable to escape it. If that's our destiny, we are unable to escape it. I haven't found a way to do it. Family constellation allow us to step out of that. But it's also the spirit that allow us to do the family constellation. If the spirit doesn't allow us to step out of that, we are unable to. We really are. We really aren't. Yeah. And those things then, in 20, 25 years, will be full science. You see that what I'm talking about now, 20, 25 years, people will know about that. They will see it on Netflix. They will read it on books. In 20, 25 years, those law, psychology will fall a little bit down in terms of what the mind is capable of. And we will go more into the spirit, into the soul, into the morphogenetic experience, because that's where we can make a difference.
Yeah, right.
You'll see it. It's coming.
And so one of your purposes of life to be able to increase your bandwidth of your control versus spirit's influence? Or are you given a certain amount of control and the rest is, it's just that's the way it is?
That's it. You are given a certain amount of control, but the rest, the more Daniel, you surrender yourself to this control, and the better you feel, the better your life unfolds. Because the great spirit, life, wants you to do more, to be happy, to create. So the more you surrender to this control, and the more life brings you to harmony, to good. But the more you resist to this control, and the more you step into this harmony. It's actually a good thing. Because imagine what a chaos would be without everybody would go right and left without something that actually bonds you and controls you and move you in one direction. But rather than what Newton says that everything is out of chaos, not really. There's everything in this universe rather than chaos. Everything is maintained perfectly in balance. And constellation teachers who learn the laws of life, like who study the laws of life like I do, you understand it right away. Everything is perfectly maintained under control.
Interesting. So what about people that are like yogis that or gurus that practice years of meditation and things like that? What would be your perspective on those types of people?
Well, those type of people, they are led to do something like that, but they participate less in life because they participate less in what? In relationships. You are much more... You gain much more wisdom than them because you participate in life. You exchange with me. And that's how you participate in life, giving and taking. People who are living out of a mountain and they live it completely into their spirit, almost outside the physical body, they participate less in life. If you think that the spirit incarnate into the body to experience itself, so the experience of the body is the most experienced spiritual experience of them all. Is the most spiritual experience of them all.
Yeah, to experience being in
the body. The body is the most spiritual experience. And people take ayahuasca, take this, take that. Yes, to go back to the spirit because it's easier there. Into the spirit is easier. The body is the most difficult, challenging, and spiritual experience of them all.
the most.
It's fucking true, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Experience the body is bloody yeah. difficult.
Yeah. Fuck it.
The illness is the relationship, the lack of money, everything. The body is difficult. Yeah.
And there's no book on managing the body. Like
bloody not. You got to go through it.
But yeah, it's very true. Like we come here, there's people that come to the body, then they want to get out and do the spiritual.
It's easier then. It's easier. They want to go back to the spirit, of course, because the spirit is easier.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fuck, I love this. Mate, I'm gonna hit you with a few questions from
please,
the audience.
Please. And grab a tissue here.
Go for it, brother. This one's we kind of touched on, but we'll get more specific. Why can't I finish tasks, company hopping, feeling inferior and not succeeding?
Awesome. Generally speaking, people who can't finish a task, they miss somebody in the system. Let me give you an example, very straightforward. I had a young girl, which became friend, Serena. She couldn't give her last exam at the university, no matter what. It was 3 years ago. She kept procrastinating years and years, and she got delivered to me somehow. And we brought to the surface her grandfather, who was lost in the sea, in the ocean. After we brought him to the surface and she cried out that sadness of that individual missing in her system of belonging, she gave her exam after 3 months. A task is usually somebody who is missing into your system. When you bring that somebody into your system, it's like the electricity in the house. There's one room, Daniel, the electricity is not going, it's not flowing. But when you bring the cable, the electricity is back. Same is with family constellation. Very simple. In missing that morphogenetic experience, that morphogenetic imprinting, that morphogenetic cable. Cable is back, straight away, the electricity is back into the room. That's
she's
powerful. Fucking,
she's missing a cable.
She's missing the cable. That's it.
That was really good.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, I know. It happened. I gave you this example, but I've seen it many times.
And when she did the constellation, she was then finishing the exams?
It unfolds naturally. Yeah. After 3 months, she gave the exam. She's fully into what she does. We actually became friends also. Yeah. She's referred me so many people out of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
The next question, and female one. Why don't I meet a man who I feel a partner for me if I am supposed to be attractive, intelligent, etc. I am 45.
Yeah, so she's experienced a bit of an interrupted moment with her father. We need to see, obviously, singularly, to have accurate unfolding, what is going on with her father, particularly what her mother thought about her father that she embodied. For example, her mother had a father who had a partner who was alcoholic. So for her, to meet a man, it's to meet a man who is alcoholic. And perhaps she didn't accept that alcoholism of her father, so she avoids that experience. Uh-huh. But that imprinting of not meeting a man to fulfill the project of life, it's a father missing. We need to look at what is her relationship with her father. Also, it could be that she doesn't meet a man because she might be even in a relationship with her father. Her mother excluded her father, so she took the role of her mother by the side of her father. Many times happen, many, many times. Unconsciously, she's by the side of her father. Of course, she doesn't meet a man. Why? Because she's in a relationship already.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like when then, I tell you this, it makes you laugh. It's like when people tell me, oh, I keep meeting men that they are in relationships. And I say, well, if you meet men that they are in a relationship means that you are in a relationship. And she's like, no. I say, well, energetically, you cannot meet somebody at a different frequency than where you are. In fact, we do the constellation and we see that she's in a relationship with her father, so she meets men who are in a relationship with their wife.
Wow.
And guess what? When those men leave their wife to go with her, she leaves. Of course she leaves, because she's not available. She's with her father. Yeah.
Wow. So if people meet people that are in relationships, typically they're in a relationship with one of their parents.
Well, it happened, or they are in a relationship with a previous partner.
Mm.
It's like then when people tell me, I keep meeting narcissist people. And I say, well, if you meet narcissist people, means that you have narcissistic traits. But let me explain what that is systemically. A narcissist systemically is a son in the sphere of influence of his mother, a daughter in the sphere of influence of her father. So the son gets value out of the eyes of his mother. And the same is for the girl, the woman, girl, in because that's the sphere influence of childhood, that takes value from the eyes of her father. A man in the sphere of influence of his father doesn't take the value from his mother. He takes the value within. He embodies from his father. Very basic things. Like, really, it seems complicated, but it's not. Yeah. It really is simple.
Mate, you're a fucking magician.
I love this shit.
How do I accept / embrace my mother after a lifetime of not being able to recognize or not being able to be recognized or need to? Something like that.
This is a clear question. This is something that calls the what they call compassion. What is compassion? Compassion is more information. If I'm able to understand why my mother was in such a way, because her mother was absent, her father left for war, they were 20 siblings and her mother didn't take an inch of emotional attention. So the more they are capable to see in the system why the mother was in such a way, the more they are able to accept their mother just as she is. How she can accept it? With compassion, by more information. So in a constellation, more information comes to where this dynamic started. It didn't start from her mother. It didn't start from her father. We're far behind.
Wow.
The more they are able to release sadness, whatever that was, and the more they're actually able to take their parents in full and detach.
Yeah, right. With your work, how far down the line do we get impacted? Like grandparents, great-grandparents? Like how...
Ellinger taught us that we go as far as 11th generation, but in my personal experience, I've seen that the most impactful line are the first few behind us, parents and grandparents.
Yeah.
However, we go as far as 5 or 6 in terms of, you know, if somebody suicide 5 or 6 line behind us, we might be impacted by that suicidal experience.
Yeah, right.
So yes, yes. It comes as far as 11th generation, as far as Ellinger taught us. But my experience, 5 or 6.
5 or 6.
Yeah.
What is the reason behind no intimate act between husband and wife?
Intimacy, Daniel, look towards the mother, is the experience of the mother. But when I have a couple that they have issues, the first things that I ask is, how's sex? Because sex tells me how the soul are talking. Is the soul are connecting to one another? Despite what, they have great sex. Maybe above there is conscience, there is their mental boundaries, there are many, many layers that they're not working, but if sex is working, it's telling me that their soul are connected and they work accordingly. When a couple then gets stuck in there's no sexuality, there are a few reasons that I would like to explain. First one is they might have been attached too much at home. So his masculinity is fading, her femininity is fading. So he needs to spend more time with men. She needs to spend more time with women. So they recharge their pole. They get back together and they go on like animals. Another thing is when the relationship is mother-son, father-daughter. So this is more like they become like families, you know, and the sex fades away because the relationship fades away. It's what we call platonic. That is the only difference between a relationship and a platonic relationship, a loving relationship and a platonic relationship. What is the difference? Sex. A platonic relationship, me and my best friend, she's beautiful, but we are not sexually attracted. Loving relationship, myself and my partner, my ex-partner, we are go like animals. Loving relationship.
Easy.
Easy. You touched on something which is I find interesting, that maybe the man needs to go with other men to recharge his masculinity. Is that an important part of
very humans? Important. Yeah, very. Recharge your pole. You're naturally drawn towards it. Like you are naturally drawn towards a man. Like for example, now we're recharging manhood. The three of us, we're recharging manhood, man energy, you know, leading, talking, and this we recharge our pole. If you spend a lot of time with women, you might get a bit more feminine because you are, and they get a little bit more masculine. This is why women, when they work like, for example, corporate 9 to 5, they might become very masculine. And the man at home might be instead on the couch, a bit more feminine. And then they come to me and say, we can't have children. Well, you can't have children because you are in, you know, he works in opposition. The man is more into his masculinity and the woman is more in her femininity. The more you step into those two biological experience, which is the man is biologically maniacal, the woman is biologically depressed, and then the more you are into your feminine and to his masculine. And
interesting.
The relationship works, brother. Yeah.
Do we need a recharge in femininity at all? Or should we just, like, does that add any value to a man?
The femininity in men has always value, but the more you get, I give you a more of a profound explanation. When a man take a woman, when a woman take a man, she becomes more woman, he becomes more man. So the more you take a woman, the more you let go of your femininity, and the more she let go of her masculinity. Sometimes in couple, why they break? Because he's unable to let go of his femininity, she's unable to let go of his masculinity. Why? Because of interrupted movement with the opposite sex parent. So he can't let go of his femininity because he can't fully enter his father. She can't let go of her femininity because she cannot fully enter her mother. So the discrepancy then works between the couple. But it is important, of course, to recharge your masculinity and femininity. A man into his feminine, he doesn't feel he doesn't feel safe to enter his father. He's not fully safe to enter his father.
What does that mean, to enter your father?
Well, enter your father's sphere of influence. So you are influenced by the line of your father. Within you, there are two lines. One is your father, right side. One is your mother. In your childhood, you are influenced by your mother. Then when you enter adulthood, by your father. A woman works differently. She starts with her mother. Then she gets sexually attracted with her father. So she learns the opposite sex attraction. And then she goes back to her mother. This is the line that we do in the both sexes.
Yeah, right. So we become more influenced by our father's side when we become adults.
When we become adults, yeah. If we didn't have our father, something happened, there is might be an interrupted movement, so we are unable to fully enter him and we remain a bit of our mother. But those archetypes then lives in our brain, in the field of existence, of information. So we're able to enter and become men even without the father role. It's a little bit more difficult because we don't have a leading role. Mm. So we slowly, slowly enter that out of external circumstances and situation, just as myself, and I'm sure you too.
So like, for example, myself, I'd be not having a father. I'd have to not make it up, but observe things and try and put my own pieces together.
Life allows you to do so. It's not something that you need to think about, but life drives you to that out through experiences. Because those archetypes are living within you. The man, the king, is living within you. The prince is living within you. The lover is within you. Everything is within you. Yeah. We already all have those archetypes into the field of existence. This field, this morphogenetic field, is informed. There are information inside. And we change the information by the experience of consciousness inside the body. We keep changing those information by living. You and I, we are changing informations now.
Fuck yeah.
We change in the field. And the field is constantly upgraded.
Mm. So, for example, if I wanted to become more in my masculine or more progressed or more courageous, etc., am I better off moving out myself? Am I better off being surrounded by more men? Am I just surrendered to what is in front? What would be your advice to me to be more of a leader?
Surrender to what is, because life is guiding you that. However, if I was you, I would look up to someone who is who you want to be. So somebody that has embodied that can give you that. That's why I always say you cannot learn a family constellation from a book, despite I've read many of them, because you need to embody the healing that you are giving. So if I want to become a leader, then I need to look up to a leader. So I get influenced by that leader, just as I would have been influenced by my father. So the more I spend time with this leader, the more I purchase his product, the more I purchase, I absorb his energy, the more I become who I want to be. Because those archetypes are living within us. And life brings you the leader in front of you who you want to be. And so it did with me. Life always brings you those angels in life that says, oh, I like what he does. I like what he does. Perhaps I should do that. I should learn from him. I should embody from him. That's it. That's how life upgrades you.
Who is your leader at the moment?
Well, it's not actually at the moment. It's always been that person. So since 2016, the person I look up to you with what I'm doing is Gabriele Policardo. He's a family constellator in Italy. But there are many different leaders for me because there's a part of me that also is attracted to TV energy, like, for example, star energy, and that's more Conor McGregor experience. So I have different leaders because they all, I need all of those archetypes to become who life wants me to be.
Gotcha.
So I have Bert Hellinger, which I really inspire by his capability to pay guilt, for example. I'm very good at pay guilt.
Yeah.
Gabriele Policardo in moving to family constellation. Conor McGregor's capability to empower the world, you know, despite other things that he did, which I don't like. Or there are other people that they give me. Everybody gives me a piece of who I will be. That's how I take my leaders, and that's how I take my archetypes. And I'm confident to make a worldwide impact with what I'm doing.
Brother. Fucking, that was mad. I've just found a new leader for myself. Let's fucking go.
Honored, brother, honored. My biggest goal is to serve. I don't want to leave this world without having made an impact. I want to make an impact.
Make an impact.
Yeah, that's my biggest goal. I want to make an impact. I want the world to be different when I left.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. The man himself. Thank you for the
brother. Of course.
That was fucking awesome.